on YouTube, and I listened to the thing Brother Jerry had on there about the history of the church on YouTube, and it was just a blessing again to listen to that, to see the blessing that God has, how God has used the ministry here through many years. And I know sometimes people may get a little discouraged about, well, what is God doing and different things, but you know what? God's got things under control. Amen. And if we will permit Him to have His way in our life, if we will surrender to Him, you know, somebody said, wave the white flag to the Lord, you know, I surrender. You know, we sing that song, I surrender all, but really I think sometimes what we mean is I surrender some. But we really do need to just surrender all of our life. Lord, You're in control of my life, and surrender it all. And before we get to the message, some of the things that I want to share with you could fit right into this message, but if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me just share with you a little bit about what's happened to us since the coronavirus hit. You know, the message this morning is simply entitled Knocked Down But Not Knocked Out. And, you know, the devil likes to throw several punches in our life, right? I mean, he likes to, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Peter, he says that he's a roaring lion. The devil is a roaring lion, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us. All those who know Christ as a Savior, the devil wants to render us ineffective if he possibly can. And so, you know, the coronavirus came along, and we travel around different churches, and a lot of our income is just based on love offerings that churches give us for coming. And so when you have a coronavirus and people aren't having meetings and your meetings are canceled, you begin to think, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, we have to trust You, Lord. We know You said You'd supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so let me just share with you a couple of things because it's encouraging, I think. I told God if He took care of us, I would tell everybody. You know, I'm not going to keep it a secret. And so I was opening up the mail one day and had our light bill in there. Of course, the virus hit right in March and February, March, and usually that's the coldest time, and that's the biggest light bills, biggest heat bills that we receive. And so we opened up the light bill, and it was $400, 400 and some odd dollars. And I was praying, Lord, you know, we've not had any meetings. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to pay this. And went to the mailbox that day, opened up the mailbox, and there was a check in there for 300 and some odd dollars. But you know what the amazing part was? It was from the light company. Woo! Yeah, we have a co-op up there, and after so many years, they have to go back and adjust all the books. You know, if you paid too much money, they have to give it back. This came from 1999. Can you believe that? I said, only God knew in 1999 that we would need that money in 2020. Amen. That's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, then as things begin to open up a little bit, we received a message from a church and said, look, we've had a kind of an outbreak in our church, and so we're not singing congregational songs, and would you and Debbie come and just provide special music for us? And we said, sure, we'll do that. And we came and provided special music for them. And after the last service there, a lady came up, and she had no idea about this. A lady came up, and she asked Debbie, she said, how do you spell your name? And she told her, and she said, I have a check for you. And she gave us a check, and the check was for $1,000. And on the memo on the check, it says, for your winter bill, light bill. She had no idea. And I said, only God knows how to take care of those things. Amen. And God is just, I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. God is not dead. And so the devil may try to throw us some pretty wicked punches sometimes. You know, we can just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And that's what this passage here tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning with verse number 8. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. Thank you so much for your care over us and your provision for us, the wonderful promises you give us in your word, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit today would speak to our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. And Father, we'll just be praising you and glorifying you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when I think about this passage, I kind of think of it a little bit like a boxer a little bit. You know, when I say knocked down but not knocked out. When I was in, I don't remember. I was probably maybe 12 or 13 years old. Some of us cousins, we would get together and we had a set of boxing gloves and we'd put on boxing gloves and we would box one another. And I had one cousin that was a little bit older than me, but boy, I thought I had a great shot at him. And as I stepped in to shoot, he stepped in, and his arms were a little longer than my arms, and he hit me square on the nose, and I saw stars, I'm telling you. I thought, whoa, that was about one of the closest times I've ever come to being knocked out. But I wasn't down. I was ready to get up and go again, you know. And my dad, when he was in the military, he was in World War II, and he was in the military, he sparred with Joe Louis. And Joe Louis was heavyweight champion at that time and left the boxing ring and actually joined the military to fight in the war. And he sparred with Joe Louis. I said, well, how did you do? He said, not too good. And my dad was a pretty good boxer himself. And I know that because I tried to challenge him one time. sometimes we can get a staggering blow, amen, but we don't have to be counted out. Matter of fact, the only time they really count you out is when you stay down. And if you don't stay down, you get back up, man, you're ready to fight again. And so he's saying that we're trouble on every side. Are we not in a midst of trouble today? I mean, when we look around, two of my most favorite books I have in my library is a Strong's Concordance and a Good Old Dictionary. And if I don't understand a word, I just look it up. And sometimes when I think I understand a word, I still look it up and find out I have a little better understanding about it. And so I looked up that word, troubled, and it means affliction. It means danger. It means pressed or hemmed in. And have you ever felt that way? Where you felt like, boy, you're in danger, you're pressed or hemmed in? There's been many times in my life where I felt like I was kind of hemmed in. I didn't think there was any way out. I didn't know how it was going to transpire. Like when I opened that light bill, I didn't know how I was going to pay that. I didn't know how I was going to be taken care of. And you kind of feel like you're pressed in a little bit. And we have troubles in this life. We're going to be experiencing all kinds of troubles. Matter of fact, Job put it this way in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We have a little fire pit out in our backyard, and we have our kids come over and grandkids come over, and we build a fire in there. And as the night comes on, it starts getting dark. I like to sit there with that fire and just watch the sparks go up. And as I watch those sparks come up, I'm always reminded of this verse. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen, as long as we live in this life, we're going to have trouble. But I'm thankful for the promises of God that we don't go through that trouble by ourselves. Amen. He's always with us. You look through the scriptures. You think about the different people in the Bible that's gone through trouble. I think about Moses. You know, he led the people, the God's people out of Egypt. And here they were, one side a mountain, the other side the Red Sea, and then the Egyptian army coming. They had no place to go. They were hemmed in. They were in trouble. And God told Moses to raise the staff over the water. And he said, behold, the salvation of the Lord. And the waters split open and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They were hemmed in. They had trouble. They had problems. David was a man of many troubles in his life. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 34, verse number 6, he says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, David experienced some troubles. Some of them he brought upon himself. Matter of fact, probably many of our troubles we have a tendency to bring upon ourselves, right? David committed adultery and brought a lot of problems upon himself because of that. I'm glad that sin can be forgiven, amen. But a lot of times sin has consequences that we carry with us. The scars of them sometimes we keep with us, but we can be forgiven for that. I almost can't imagine. I've tried to think of this several times. I have two sons. We have six children all together. I tell people all the time, they ask me, they say, how many kids you have? I say six. They're all girls except for the two boys. And so I have two sons, but I can't imagine my sons rebelling against me and wanting to overthrow me. But David had that experience. David was king, and one of his sons rebelled against him, rose up against him to try and overthrow him out of the being king of the land. Can you imagine that? I tell you, that's trouble. That's difficulty. That's heartbreaking. That hurts. And David experienced many troubles in his life. Job, obviously, we know Job experienced problems. He lost everything he had except for his wife. And sometimes we kind of wonder about that because she did say, curse God and die. And so she really wasn't on his side, didn't seem like. And somebody said how come God didn't destroy Job's wife? It took the kids and all of his wealth and all that kind of thing. The only reason I can give you is because the Bible says that when the man and the woman get married, they become one. And he told Satan he could not do anything, could not take Job's life. And so because they were one, he had to keep his hand off his wife too. So, you know, but Job went through a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. I've had people say, there's never been a person ever have as much problems as Job. I beg to differ with you. I've seen the tsunami hit over in Japan, and I've seen people there lose everything they had. I've seen people there lose all their family members. I've seen people go through a whole lot of things. There have been other people that have lost all they had. There's been other people that lost their families and all that kind of thing. But the thing of it is, we got to realize that we've got a God in heaven who will see us through those trying times, who will help us through those difficult times. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you think those guys were in trouble? They would not kneel down and bow down before the statue and worship the statue. And the king says, we'll throw you in the fiery furnace. And they said, that's okay with us. And they bound them up and threw them in the fire. Do you know there's only one thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lost when they went in the fiery furnace? And that was the things that bound them. The Bible says that they were bound, they were cast in, but when the king looked in, he said, did we not bind them and throw them in the fiery furnace? Did we not throw three in? He said, I see four in there, and they're walking about. They lost the things that bound them. Sometimes we have to go through trouble, sometimes we have to go through difficult times to lose those things that bind us. Sometimes things bind us and stagnate us, and sometimes trouble comes to set us free. We look at trouble the wrong way sometimes. We need to be reminded that sometimes trouble comes only to set us free. And I like what one old black preacher said one time. They said that, you know, he said, they brought the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, but they didn't say anything about the Son of God. He said, he stayed in there for when you go through the fire. I like that, amen. God is, Jesus Christ is there in the midst of the fire when we go through the fire, and I appreciated that. Daniel, he was cast in a den of lions. I'd say that was probably some trouble, amen. I don't know, you know, I don't know what David said to him or Daniel said to him. I don't know if he said anything to him, but he survived the night. Then Paul, he suffered stoning, shipwreck, beatings often, you know. We go through troubles in life. Life is just full of trouble, and we're gonna face it day in and day out. But I love what the Lord tells us there. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That word distressed means to cause anxiety or suffering, to worry or upset. Now, in the world in which we live today, there's anxiety everywhere. I mean, our schools are full of it. They have to have counselors because the kids are always anxious over things. Why is that? Because they've removed prayer, they removed Bible, they removed God out of our schools. The kids have nothing to rely upon. All they can do is be anxious. And they have this anxiety building up all the time. And people have this anxiety building up in them, and they become anxious, and they suffer because of it, and they're upset because of it. In Psalm 34, verse number 17, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles. That's how we overcome distress, is by the promise of God. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. In Psalm 34, verse number 7, says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Why should we be anxious if we know that the angel of the Lord encamp around about us? Now, I've never seen the angel of the Lord, but I do know one thing. He's there. There's been many times when I know that He's protected me and delivered me and been there for me. And so the Bible says He's there, and we need to claim the promise of God and not be distressed and be anxious and fretful over things. He tells us that, you know, some people become so distressed in this world today because they spend too much time focusing on the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I get the coronavirus? Well, did God tell you if you get the coronavirus and you die, don't we have a better place waiting for us? Amen? Amen? You know, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. I believe it's real. You know, I believe it exists. I've seen people get sick from it. I thought one of my best friends, I thought was gonna die of it. He's got COVID. And emphysema, he got pneumonia, the coronavirus, he was in the hospital for a week. I told him, I said, I had the second point of my funeral message ready for you, brother. And because I thought he was gone. I thought, but I realized the angels are up there saying, not yet, Lord, we're not ready for him. So he's loud and obnoxious, and we're just, you know, but we tease about that. But the fact of the matter is, we got a better place awaiting for us. We got a, you know, I looked at the riots and things are going on, and you could get distressed and anxious about that. And I have to remind myself, this world is my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. Let them go ahead, destroy it, tear it up, whatever they want to do. I'm going to be out of here for long. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting 65 years old, and it's getting closer today than what it was used to be, you know. And we just got to trust God and not be so distressed and anxious over the things of this world. This world's not our home, and we need to rejoice in that. And so, you know, we need to hang on to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Look, we got the promises of God to hang on to. Amen? I love that recitation you gave just before we preached. It'll change your life if you'll let it. This book will change you. This book will set you from your anxieties, set you free from your anxieties. This book will set you free from your addictions. This book will set you free from the sin. I'll tell you, this book will change our life if we'll permit it to do so. If we'll say, Lord, here it is. I may not fully understand everything, and I truly don't. I've been in the ministry 44 years now, and there's things in here I do not understand. But next month I may be reading something and say, that's what God was talking about over there. And I still do that. Matter of fact, I got a whole sermon. I think I preached it here last time about the in Joshua when they were getting ready into the promised land. And I saw a little phrase in there I'd never seen before when the 10 spies came out and they gave a bad report. And they said that the giants, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, that's a wicked imagination. Because those giants would have had to been really, really tall for the average person to look like a grasshopper in their sight. The imagination goes wild. That's the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? And our imagination begins to run wild. And you know what that does? That causes stress and anxiety. But God says, look, we're troubled, but we're not distressed. We got the promises of God. We can hang on to those promises and believe in those promises. And God will set us free and deliver us from those things if we'll let Him do so. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we're perplexed. That word perplexed, I looked that up. It said perplexed. That means puzzled, unenlightened, confused. Sometimes it's complicated or involved. You never been perplexed about something? I think one of the most perplexing things in the scriptures, I think, was when God told Joshua that He was going to go in and take Jericho. And Joshua was a great military leader. I mean, he had conquered, had many battles, conquered many battles. He was a great military leader. And probably if God would have told him, said, I want you to go capture Jericho, he would have figured out how to do it. But God gave him specific instructions. God said, I want you to go out. The first day, I want you to march around the city. The second day, I want you to march around the city. I want you to do that 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around the city 7 times. I want you to blow the trumpets and yell with a shout. Now, as a military leader, you got to be thinking, this is kind of confusing, Lord. This is perplexing. I don't quite understand this. I don't know what, you know, this is not how I would do it. You know, and that's how what gets me in trouble sometimes is not trying to figure out how I would do it. I remember one time I went to a meeting and they were raising money to buy paper to print Bibles on. And it was a big roll of paper, and a big roll of paper was $600. Well, I didn't have $600, but I thought, well, I'll give $100 toward that roll of paper, and somebody will walk up to me, and they'll give me one of those Christian handshakes, you know. They'll put a little bit of money in there and say, God bless you, and say, oh, $100, thank you, Lord. Or maybe I'll go to the mailbox, and I'll open up the mailbox, and boy, there'll be a check in there for $100. Thank you, Lord. Well, I received a phone call from a man who owned a business in Indianapolis, and he said, hey, he said, I have a guy that can't be here for 3 or 4 days. Could you come and fill in for him? You know what I said? Lord, this is not the way I had that planned. You know, sometimes God perplexes us. Sometimes he confuses us in the way he's going to do things. But if we just rest in the fact that God's in control, that God loves us, and God's going to do the best for us, God's going to take care of us, he said, we don't have to be perplexed. We might be a little confused about what God's doing, but just trust him. Just rest upon him. I can imagine that Joshua had to be pretty perplexed over that description of how he was going to conquer that city. But yet God gave him great victory. He said, you're perplexed. You might be confused. You might be puzzled about what God's doing, but not in despair. Not in despair. Despair means to lose all hope. You know what's wrong with our society today? They've lost hope. You know why our kids are struggling in schools? They've lost hope. They said that suicide among teenagers is the highest it's ever been. You know why? They don't have any hope. We've taken God out of school. We've taken prayer out of schools. And they don't have anything to hope in. Well, if all we had to look at was what was going on in the world today, we'd all be a miserable mess, wouldn't we? But that's what people without God have. They look around and they see all this that's going on, and that's all they have. They're distressed. They're in despair. They have no hope. And that's what drives them to a place of suicide. It's because they feel like there's no hope. There's nothing they can do. It's beyond them. Well, a lot of the things are beyond us, but when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you have God on your side, we don't have to lose hope. Amen? There's a song that says, my hope is in the Lord. I love that. My hope is in the Lord. And that's where our hope ought to be. Said we're perplexed. We might be confused about things that are going on, but not in despair. We don't have to lose hope. It's not hopeless. You know, God still could send revival. You say, preacher, do you believe that God could send a national revival? I really do believe he could do that. See, the reason why I believe that is because I know that the Bible tells us that if I repent of my sins, that he'll forgive me of my sins and give me that individual revival. Which means if I could get an individual revival, I could touch somebody else's life and they could bring revival there. And there's an old song years ago they used to sing, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and we start spreading that around, and revival begins to spread. And if we really got revived and begin to spread that around, we could actually see a national revival. I don't know whether we will or not, because when I look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, I look at the very first thing. He says, if my people, God's people, very first thing, will humble themselves. You know, the problem is, see, humble people will pray, but who will not humble themselves. Humble. You know, sometimes I think when we feel like, well, I'm going to get off into another message here. But anyway, when we think sometimes when we humble ourselves today and we're praying for revival, I think our humility only goes so far. We're only saying, Lord, just get me back to where it used to be. Instead of, Lord, get me back to where you want me to be. Get me back to holy living. Get me back to purity. Get me back to what you want. Because most of the time people won't humble themselves that far. Right? That's a whole nother message. So that's why I believe God put humble first in that phrase. Because proud people don't pray, or if they do pray, they pray the wrong prayer. You know? Just like the Pharisee and the publican. He said, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like this publican, and on and on. That's sometimes how we pray, isn't it? I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like them over there. And Lord, if you'd only save those rioters, Lord, I know we'd have revival. No, start right here. Lord, humble me. You know? Matter of fact, I looked at some of those rioters, and I felt myself getting a little bit angry at some of those rioters and things that are going on. You know what? The Lord spoke to my heart, a verse of Scripture. It says, and such were some of you. You're right, Lord. I'd have been right there in that mess if I hadn't trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. So we're perplexed, but not in despair. We have hope. We have hope. Though we may be puzzled, we may be confused, we still have our hope in the Lord. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Our God is not the author of confusion. He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. See, in the beginning, listen, our God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, He created the heavens and the earth out of absolutely nothing. I mean, think about that for a while. I mean, He simply spoke the word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He simply spoke it into existence out of nothing. And we got these scientists out there trying to figure all this stuff out, you know, going to Mars now, trying to figure out how life started and all this kind of thing. And I tell people, look, science is only right if it's true. If you base what you're doing on false information, it's not science. And, you know, we got to understand that. You know, the science is right if it's true, if it's based on facts. And so, you know, they're trying to figure all this stuff out. But God spoke it into existence. And if they ever come to accept that, God created something out of nothing. And then He took a handful of dirt and made us. Can you believe that? Breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And I like, you know, scientists are so, obviously, some of them are really great. And we have some good Christian scientists. As a matter of fact, they never interview the Christian scientists. They always interview these guys that are out there somewhere. You know, and why they listen to these guys, I don't know. You know, they're the ones that tell you that girls can be boys and boys can be girls, and they're the ones that tell you that a baby in the womb is not a baby, but that's they're basing that on so-called science, you know. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. But y'all ever done that before? You done that before? And you know, we got to realize that. You know, God created us out of the dust of the earth. He breathed in our nostrils the breath of life. And the scientists say we must have become from animals because the human makeup, body makeup, is a lot like the animal body makeup. And I was reading the Bible one day, and you know where God created the animals? Out of the dust of the earth. So the same elements that are in our body, we find in some of the animals' bodies because God created them out of the same dirt. And so, you know, we got to listen to the science. When it's true, it's true. Amen. And praise God. But we didn't come from the animals. We just came from the dirt that God created us from. But listen, our God is in control. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. He put them all into existence. He spoke them into existence. And do you think if our God can do all of that, and He has done all of that, that He can't see us through some troubles that come into our life? We don't have to be in despair. We have hope in the Lord. He said, you're persecuted. Well, we've been pretty blessed in America. We've not experienced a lot of persecution in America. Matter of fact, I would honestly say that I do not feel like I've experienced any persecution in America. I had one fellow hit me one time because I was witnessing to him. He hit me in the chest. But I wouldn't consider that persecution because I read the voice of the martyrs. And I see what those people are doing. I see them being beaten and drugged to their death and killed and giving their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's persecution. I don't consider what I go to as somebody slamming the door in my face or somebody cussing me out or somebody hitting me just a little bit. I don't consider that real persecution. But it may come in America. We don't know. You know, we all probably pray, Lord, come back before that happens. But why are we so much better than our brothers and sisters in another part of the world? You know, it may happen. We may suffer the persecution. We may have to go through that. But he says in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yea, and that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We might end up suffering some sort of persecution in America. He says, but even if you're going through persecution, even if you're like the apostles, the cast into prison, even if you're going through all that, he says, you're not forsaken. Amen. We're not forsaken. Amen. That means deserted or abandoned. God just doesn't walk off and leave us and say, I'm sorry you got locked up in jail. You're on your own. No. So I'm sorry they beat you and persecuted you. You're on your own. No, he doesn't do that. He said, you're not forsaken. Though we're persecuted, we're not forsaken. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, he said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us always. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Praise God. We're not forsaken. He is with us always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm so glad that no matter what we go through in life, He is with us always. Amen. He is always there. He says we're cast down. That means to throw down with violence, with great force, expecting to be killed. The world doesn't want anything to do with us, and it's getting worse and worse. When I first went into ministry, even lost people had a certain respect for preachers. You know, I could go in someplace and if somebody said a swear word in front of me, they would apologize immediately. Now they almost challenge you just to see what you're going to do. They would apologize immediately. Or if I was visiting somebody and they were drinking a beverage they shouldn't be drinking, you know, like alcoholic beverage, and you walked in to visit with them, they would hide it, you know, because they had a certain respect for that. But we've lost that today. That same respect is not there. And said they would just soon cast us down with great violence to see us destroyed. The devil would like to do that, to cast us down with great violence to see us destroyed. But he says we're not destroyed. You may get cast down, you may get knocked down, but you're not knocked out. You may get knocked down, but you're not knocked out, he said, but you are not destroyed. You are not ruined completely. We can get back up, we can brush the dirt off, and we can go on for the glory of God. We may fall into some type of sin, but we can ask God's forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin, and we can go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that old game called Password? And they would have this little sheet there, and there would be a word on that sheet, that cardboard would be in red, and it'd be a red cellophane paper over top of it. You couldn't see what that word was until you pulled it up, because the red would blot out the red. Well, the Bible tells us, he said, that though your sins be red like scarlet. A lot of times we look at sin as being black. But he says, so your sins be red like scarlet. You take your sin and the blood of Jesus Christ and apply it on your sin, and it becomes covered by the blood, the red. God doesn't see it anymore. You know what he sees? He sees the blood of his Son. I'm glad for forgiveness, amen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We might be cast down, but we're not destroyed. Praise God for that. I read this little, I guess it's a poem many years ago, and I think it really fits what we as Christians should experience. He said, a little brown cork fell in the path of a whale, who lashed it down with his angry tail. But in spite of the blows, it quickly arose and floated serenely before his nose. Said the cork to the whale, you may flap and sputter and frown, but you never, never can keep me down. For I'm made of the stuff that's buoyant enough to float instead of drown. Listen. When you have Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, you've trusted Him as your Savior. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, He says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We may get knocked down, but back up we come. He says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." We may get knocked down, but we come right back up. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome him," because, talking about the devil, overcome them, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We may get knocked down, but we get back up because we're not forsaken. We're always, the Lord is always there to bear us up and to lift us up and to help us. We're made of the stuff that's buoyant enough to float and not drown. Amen. The devil can't overcome us. He says, listen, He says, "We are troubled on every side." It's all around us. "But not distressed." Doesn't bother me. Can't see that coronavirus, but, you know, I live by faith and not by sight. Amen. So many people are living in fear, and again, I think it's real, but we're to live our lives by faith, not fear. By faith in Jesus Christ. He says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. We may not understand everything God's doing and exactly how He's doing it, but not in despair, because we have hope. The Lord is on our side. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Father, I ask today your blessings. Lord, I know that this world sometimes can be very hard and difficult. But I thank you that you've not left us to wander around in this world on our own. You've given us the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells within us, that will teach us all truth, that will guide us, that will direct us, that will help us navigate through this world. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us, even in the midst of all the difficulties that we may face. But we thank you that you made a provision for our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. If we'll place our faith and trust in Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary, you told us that you would prepare a place for us, that you give us eternal life. We place our faith and trust in Him. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in every heart and every life this morning. Father, I pray that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Today would be their day that they would open their heart and permit the Lord to come in and forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them and to give them eternal life. Maybe there's someone today, Lord, that's going through difficult times or going through some great struggles. And they feel like it's almost hopeless. Lord, I pray that today you would give them that hope in their heart, that they can rest in you. They can rely upon your promises, that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You're always there with us. Father, we ask you again, Lord, to have your will in your way in every heart and life, which in Jesus' name I pray. Head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Brother Ray, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it." You say, "Pray for me." Is there anyone like that this morning? Say, "Pray for me. I'm just not sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Maybe you're here and you say, "I know I'm saved, but I've been going through some hard times, some difficult times, troublesome times." Say, just pray that God would help me to trust Him as I go through this, that my hope would be in the Lord. Is there anyone like that this morning? So pray for me. God bless you. Father, we thank you again for all that you've done, for all that you're going to do. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jerry.